Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. We'll get to your election results in just a few moments. But first, from Napoleon Community Schools, yesterday, district was placed into a lockdown and was evacuated Tuesday afternoon after multiple threats were called in, and authorities believe none of them had merit after investigation. On May 5th, at about 2:30, authorities with the Napoleon Township Police Department say an anonymous call was made to a non-emergency line at the Napoleon Township office. The caller stated that he was Napoleon High School with multiple weapons and intended to carry out a mass casualty event. That information was immediately relayed to patrol officers and the school resource officer assigned to Napoleon Community Schools. At nearly the same time, a second call was received at the Columbia Township Police Department. Unlike the first caller, this individual remained on the line and provided officers with additional details regarding the alleged weapons and other potentially valuable information. However, this caller stated the threat was at Napoleon Middle School. Napoleon Township Police officers immediately contacted Napoleon Community Schools Administration and placed the entire school district into lockdown. With students and faculty secured in classrooms, responding officers conducted a search of all three school buildings, parking lots, surrounding properties, and adjacent areas. Once both primary and secondary searches were completed and no threat was located, the lockdown was lifted. Officers and school staff then began a coordinated evacuation process, transporting students by bus to a reunification site where they were safely released directly to their parents or guardians. At this time, investigators believe there was no direct threat to students or staff within Napoleon Community Schools, and the incident appears consistent with a swatting-type hoax. All calls received were made from blocked or anonymous phone numbers. The incident remains under investigation, and every effort will be made to identify and prosecute the individual or individuals responsible. The Napoleon Township Police Department recognized this incident prompted an immediate and overwhelming response from nearly every law enforcement agency in Jackson County, several Jackson County Fire and Rescue Departments, and Jackson Community Ambulance. They extend their appreciation to all responding agencies as well as Jackson County Central Dispatch for their professionalism, coordination, and clear communication throughout a tense and rapidly evolving situation. Napoleon Township police officials also want to recognize the effectiveness of the district's lockdown system, as well as the professionalism, training, and execution demonstrated by the staff of Napoleon Community Schools during the event. The community was thanked by police for remaining calm, patient, and cooperative while first responders worked to ensure the safety of all students and staff. Now on to election results from May 5th, from yesterday. And in Columbia Charter Township, three of the four police and fire protection millages passed. The fire protection millage renewal passed 1323 to 500. Columbia Charter Township police protection millage renewal passed 1267 to 560. The Columbia Charter Township Fire Department additional operational millage proposal that passed 952 to 866, but the Columbia Charter Township Police Department additional operation millage proposal failed with 917 voting no and 892 voting yes. All but one school millage up in Jackson County yesterday passed. Let's start off with the Columbia School District bond proposal. That passed 1268 yes to 1194 no. Grass Lake Community School bond proposal, that passed 870 yes to 667 no. Hanover Horton School District bond proposal, that passed 535 yes to 462 no. Vandercook Lake Public Schools bond proposal failed yesterday, 423 no to 376 yes. A woman and a 14-year-old have died after they were shot over a game of soccer in Grand Rapids yesterday. Police say they were called to Southwest Elementary School, where they found the two victims. They say they tried to save the teen, but she died at the scene. Interim Police Chief Joe Trigg says the woman was taken to the hospital, where she later died. Trigg says it started when a suspect approached a group of kids playing soccer and asked to play with them. He was turned away and a verbal altercation ensued, with the suspect pulling a gun and shooting the teen and then the woman when she came to help. He says no one else was hurt, but they were at least 7 or 8 kids that witnessed the shooting. The suspect was arrested at a home. Southwest Elementary and Southwest Middle High School are closed today, and school therapists available for the students. Macomb County Prosecutor Peter Lucido is pushing for a strict sentence for an East Point teen pleaded guilty to animal torture. 19-year-old Desar Blair admitted in court to kicking her mother's dog in the head, causing it to lose an eye. Blair is hoping to be sentenced under the Holmes Youthful Trainee Act to keep her criminal record clean, but prosecutors are strongly objecting. Lucido released a statement saying animal cruelty is a clear indicator of disregard for life, and those who harm defenseless animals must face serious consequences. Blair will learn her fate on June 9th. Democrat Chedrick Green is the new state senator in the 35th District of Michigan. He beat Republican Jason Tooney in the special election. Green fills the seat vacated by Democrat Krista McDonald-Rivett, who was elected to Congress. Green says he's excited to go to Lansing to fight for every policy and dollar that helps hardworking men and women build better lives in Bay, Midland, and Saginaw counties, and sets our kids up for brighter futures. On Tuesday, Jackson police reported they made a traffic stop in the early morning hours of May 2nd, which led to multiple charges for a Jackson area man. Police say the officer pulled over a driver who did not have a valid license and was unable to provide identification. During the stop, the suspect resisted officers and was taken into custody after a brief struggle. Authorities say suspected methamphetamine was found on the man and a loaded pistol was recovered from the vehicle. Investigators also determined the suspect is a convicted felon and did not have a concealed pistol license. He is now facing charges including resisting and obstructing, drug possession, and weapons violations. Members of the Jackson Police Department Honor Guard cordially invite the public to the annual Law Enforcement Memorial. That event is happening today at noon at the True Community City Square, 200 West Michigan Avenue. In case of inclement weather, it will be moved to the Jackson Symphony Orchestra just down the road at 215 West Michigan Avenue. Again, that event is noon today at the True Community City Square, downtown Jackson. Jocelyn Benson, currently the Secretary of State, is running for governor, and if that creates a conflict of interest, since she's also in charge of certifying election results.
Like every Secretary of State who's come before me, from Terry Lynn Land, who ran for U.S. Senate, to my predecessor, Ruth Johnson, who ran for State Senate while serving as Secretary of State. It's not doing anything new here, but what we are doing new, frankly, is building firewalls within our department that have been implicit in how I've operated throughout my time as Secretary of State. Because, you know, in 2022, I ran for office re-election while serving as Secretary of State. So we'll continue to be very transparent and explicit about what those firewalls are so that everyone can continue to have rightly placed faith in the security of our elections.
According to the most recent series of polls, Benson holds a huge lead over Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson in the race for the Democratic nomination, while John James is the leader for the Republican nomination. Split decision yesterday in a local data center recall effort. Washtenaw County election officials have approved recall language targeting Saline Township Supervisor James Marion, clearing the way for petitioners to begin collecting signatures. But recall language aimed at Township Clerk Kelly Marion and Trustee Tom Hammond were rejected, with election officials citing confusing wording that didn't meet legal standards. Organizers say those petitions will be revised and resubmitted within 14 days. Township Clerk Kelly Marion says, although today was a success for her, she knows the fight isn't over.
This is my job. This is how I support my family. It's how I support myself. I have dedicated myself to this township for years, and I'm not throwing in the towel.
The Saline Township Citizen Group opposed to the data center will need to collect 302 signatures within the next 60 days for the recall of the township supervisor to appear on this November's ballot. Jackson County Free Museum Day is back for its ninth year this Saturday, 10 to 4. 15 museums across the county will open their doors at no cost for a day of history, culture, and family-friendly fun. Visitors can explore everything from historic homes and schoolhouses to transportation exhibits and fine art, with many locations offering self-guided tours, live demonstrations, food trucks, and activities for kids. New this year, the first 50 visitors at each location will receive a free collectible sticker unique to that museum, and each site will also host its own prize drawing. Two new stops are part of this year's lineup, including the Sparks Museum at the Cascades and the Jackson Train Station, featuring a special America 250 exhibit. Organizers say the event is a great opportunity to experience multiple museums at your own pace, especially those not regularly open to the public. For a full list of locations and to plan your route, visit Experience Jackson Online or download their free mobile app. No matter the age or the time of year, good idea to use sunscreen if you're spending extended time outdoors.
If you work outside, you may want to check with your employer to see if they're providing sunscreen. It's one of the best ways to protect yourself from those UV rays. Dr. Mark Hurlbert, CEO of the Melanoma Research Alliance.
A key is to make it part of your daily routine and apply it in the morning before you leave the house. But key is to reapply it throughout the day, especially if you're outdoors exercising or sweating, or if you're jumping into that pool or that ocean, that lake, and when you come out of the water, to dry off and then reapply. So key is to apply it in the morning, but then reapply throughout the day as you need.
May is Melanoma Awareness Month, and they recommend that you do a monthly self-skin check and look for things like a brown mole or a red spot. And if you see something changing over time, make sure to reach out to your doctor so they can take a look. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Gen Z is finding it harder than ever to leave the financial nest. Michigan News Network's Dan Jenkins.
According to new data from Intuit Credit Karma, over half of 18 to 24-year-olds still rely on their parents or relatives for money. For nearly half of those young adults, there's no deadline in sight to cut the cord. Even with that family help, 61% say they're making major financial compromises just to get by. The reality of adulthood is hitting hard. Nearly half say their biggest financial wake-up call was simply realizing how expensive everyday essentials are. To afford anything beyond the bare minimum, 56% are now taking on side gigs or freelance work. Dan Jenkins for the Michigan News Network.
And don't be surprised if you see odd-looking sailboats on the Great Lakes this summer. U.S. Coast Guard will have sail drones on the lakes throughout the season. They'll be used mainly as another monitoring system for crews. UAS program manager Anthony Popiel says they've used the drones for multiple reasons, including an illegal immigration and gun smuggling along the southern coast.
They've been farther offshore. We're also using them in New England to monitor fisheries grounds. And we know we needed to help improving our maritime domain awareness, and we thought this would be a good opportunity to test this asset on the Great Lakes.
Popiel says the drones are always under control of a pilot.
These are environmentally safe vessels. You know, they're, like I said, they're wind-powered, solar-powered. They are monitored 24/7. They've got remote pilots that that manage the movement of the drones, so they're always under a careful watch.
He adds, it's important to remember to give them plenty of space to work. You should maintain the same distance between the drones as you do with any other Coast Guard vessel. Michigan Army veteran who recently gained national attention after receiving $2 million in online donations is now helping others.
88-year-old Ed Bombas was working at the Meyer in Brighton following a 40-year career with General Motors when a GoFundMe organized by Sam Wiedenhofer helped him retire. Now the two are working together to support veterans across the country. The campaign has already raised $300,000 and is aiming for $10 million. Each veteran is getting their fundraiser, with Bombas contributing $1,000 to the first 50 participants. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Warren Police helped reunite a family with their dog after it was allegedly held for ransom.
The dog, Diesel, a black and white Alaskan Klee Kai, had run away from home. After the family posted about his disappearance on social media, they started getting messages demanding money for the dog's return. Investigators traced those messages to 21-year-old Lamarze Tolbert. Police say Diesel was located at Tolbert's home in Warren. He initially refused to return the dog, but was later taken into custody. Tolbert has been charged with one count of receiving and concealing stolen property. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Those who are getting older in Michigan are finding the state a good place to grow old. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher.
The Michigan poll on healthy aging, a poll of those 50 and older, shows this is a good place to age. Dr. Jeff Colgren is the poll director at the University of Michigan.
The vast majority of them viewed Michigan as an either excellent, very good, or good place to live as they age. The things that were rated particularly high by older Michiganders included things like healthcare quality, social and recreational opportunities, public safety, as well as aging services and programs.
Colgren says people 50 and older living in northern Michigan and the UP were less likely to say it's easy to find high-quality health care. He says older black Michiganders were less likely than older whites to rate the state as an excellent, very good, or good place to age. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
It's Wednesday, and it's the 6th day of May. Today we celebrate International No Diet Day. It's not a diet. It's not a diet. It's creating long-term sustaining habits. It's not a diet. It's National Beverage Day. It's National Crepe Day, National Nurses Day, National Tourist Appreciation Day, and it's National No Homework Day. It was on this date in 1910. England's King Edward II died. He was succeeded by his son, George V. Babe Ruth hit his first major league home run on this date in 1915. It was on this date in 1937. The Hindenburg exploded into flames on its approach to Lakehurst, New Jersey's landing spot, killing 36 of its 97 passengers. It was on this date in 1994. The tunnel under the English Channel that links England and France officially opened. It was on this date in 2001. During his visit to Syria, Pope John Paul II became the first pontiff to enter a mosque. It was on this date in 2004. The final episode of Friends aired on NBC. It's on this date in 2008. The Chaitén volcano in Chile erupted, forcing the evacuation of over 4,000 people. It's on this date in 2009. Maine became the fifth state in the U.S. to legalize same-sex marriage. On this date in 2013, Michelle Knight, Amanda Berry, and Gina DeJesus, who disappeared in three separate missing person cases years earlier, were found alive together in the same Cleveland, Ohio house. It's on this date in 2022, an explosion at the five-star hotel in Saratoga due to a suspected gas leak in Havana, Cuba, killed at least 35 people. Birthdays today include Prince Archie. He's seven. He's son of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Noah Galvin from The Good Doctor and Booksmart. He's 32 today. Naomi Scott from Smile 2, Aladdin, Lemonade Mouth. 33 today. Adrienne Palicki is 43, actress, Friday Night Lights, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. George Clooney has a birthday. George Clooney is 65, Ocean's 11. Good night, good luck, ER. Roma Downey is 66, actress, Touched by an Angel, Woman Named Jackie. Tom Bergeron is 71. Tom Bergeron from Dancing with the Stars host. Tony Blair has a birthday today. Former British Prime Minister, he's 73 today. Alan Dale from The O.C. and Ugly Betty and Dynasty is 79 today. Sigmund Freud would have had a birthday today. Sigmund Freud passed away in 1939. Russell Stover, love his products. Russell Stover would have had a birthday today, passed away in 1954. And Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, Orson Welles would have had a birthday. He passed away in 1985. Rosebud. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Citizen Kane yet, it was the sled. Other birthdays today include Meek Mill. He's a rapper. He's 39 today. Mark Bryan
did the guitar and mandolin for Hootie and the Blowfish. He's 59 today. John Flashberg from They Might Be Giants. He's 66 today. Jimmy Dale Gilmore, country singer, 81 today. Bob Seger. Bob Seger, Michigan's own, Ann Arbor's own, Bob Seger, 81 today.
She gave me a false address. Took off with my American Express. Sunspot, babe, she show at me way I guessed.
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
Charge up a fortune on my credit card. She used my address and my name. Man, that was sure unkind. Sunspot, babe, she sure had a real good time. I looked in Miami, I looked in the grill. Closest I came was a month old bill. I checked the Bahamas and they said she was gone. Can't understand why she did me so wrong.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
6:41, 19 minutes in front of 7 o'clock, and let's get to your sports courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center on this Wednesday. I'm sure they're sweating it out as we speak right now at Kettlebell Hotspot. They've got that 6 a.m. class and that 8 a.m. class Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm not going to make it today. I've got other things I have committed myself to for later in the afternoon. But they normally have that 4:30 class Monday and Wednesday. And they also have, it's still going, even though I'm not there, the class still goes on, just to clarify. 9 o'clock Saturday morning, they've had that Saturday morning circuit, which is an absolute blast. Kettlebell Hotspot. It's where your functional fitness begins, improving your strength, balance, and mobility. No matter where you are in your physical fitness journey, they have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot, 7851 Spring Arbor Road, on Facebook and online. KettlebellHotspot.com. Detroit basketball Pistons. They got off to a strong start. Second round, knocking off the Cleveland Cavs. 111-101. Game one Tuesday night in Detroit. Cade Cunningham led the way. 23 points. Tobias Harris had a 20. Duncan Robinson chipped in 19 for the top-seeded Pistons. Detroit forced 20 turnovers that turned into 31 points, helping shut down Cleveland's backcourt. For the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell scored 23, ending his streak of 9 straight series openers with 30 or more. James Harden added 22, but also committed 7 turnovers. Cleveland rallied from an 18-point deficit to tie it late in the fourth, but Detroit answered. Jalen Duren came up big with a key block and 3 straight dunks off Cunningham assists to steal it, and the win snaps Detroit's 12-game postseason losing streak against Cleveland dating back to 2007. Game two set for Thursday night in Detroit. How about elsewhere in the NBA from yesterday? You also had the Lakers and the Thunder. Thunder downing the Lakers 108-90 yesterday. So OKC leads that series 1-0. Today in the NBA postseason, you've got 76ers at the Knicks. 7 o'clock for the tip time there. The Knickerbockers, they lead that series 1-0. And the Timberwolves are at the Spurs. Minnesota leads that series 1-0. On to the ice of the National Hockey League. 1 yesterday in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it was the Avs topping the Wild 5-2. So Colorado now leads that series 2-0. Today in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Canadiens are at the Sabres. That's at 7 o'clock. And the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, who are trailing the Las Vegas Golden Knights by 1-0,
in their best of seven series. Ducks are at the Knights, the Golden Knights, tonight. 9:30 for the face-off there. Well, we'll see if it works. I'm anticipating everything working the way it should. Boston Red Sox, Detroit Baseball Tigers. It was in the fifth inning, and it was a bench-clearing incident as Framber Valdez, who had given up 10 runs to this point in the game, the frustrations got to him. It just got to him. It got the best of him.
And they are coming out of their shells. Oh, that's it. Story takes one, and look out. Look out. Trevor Story doesn't like it at all. Fromber steps in the mound, and here come the Red Sox. And here comes everybody spilling out. 10 runs was enough. The Tigers and Red Sox all fall out onto the field down the first base line. Everybody coming out of the dugout. Trevor Story got pelted by Framber Valdez. The bullpens are emptying in left center field as well. So everybody with a uniform on is going to come visit, or at least most of them.
Did I say fifth? That's fourth. He hit That's Story the fourth square. Inning when that happened.
Boy, did he.
Torres giving up, or Valdez giving up 10 runs in four innings of work.
AJ Hinch having some words.
It's not cool. Definitely intentionally hitting him. Pelted him square. And it didn't look like it tickled. And Story certainly expressing his frustrations at that as well. And third plate ump ended up throwing out Valdez yesterday. So Detroit did get a solo shot from Vierling, but they just couldn't keep pace. Tigers have now dropped five of their last eight, and that series will wrap up Wednesday night in Detroit. And we'll have that for you down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. That is a 6:15 broadcast. And then they are off to Cleveland tomorrow. And the experts who put together the sports books, they say Detroit should win this one tonight. They got Detroit at minus 118. Red Sox are 9-11 when they're on the road. Detroit now 12-5 when they're at home. We've got Jack Flaherty against Sonny Gray tonight. That box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. 57.4% chance of winning, according to the matchup predictor for Detroit Tiger baseball. Yesterday, around the league, you had the BOs topping the Marlins. That was 9-7. The Phillies beat the Athletics 9-1. Rays getting a win over the Blue Jays 4-3. Twins on top of the Natties 11-3. Stankies got a win. They beat the Rangers 7-4. Royals over the Guardians 5-3. Cubbies beat the Reds 3-2. Astros getting a win over the Dodgers 2-1. The Angels getting a win over the White Sox 4-3. Diamondbacks shut out the Pirates 9-0. Braves beat the Mariners 3-2, and the Padres over the Giants 10-5. So our early season standings in the AL Central, even with the loss, the Tigers keeping pace with the Guardians. Every team in the American League is under 500 right now. So Tigers are 18-19, Guardians 18-19, the Royals 17-19, White Sox 17-19, and the Twins 16-20. So a very tight race for mediocrity right now in the American League Central. All right. Let's pivot over to high school baseball. Yesterday, it was Springport. They rolled past Concord 14-0 and 12-2 in Big 8 play in Game 1. Jake Kriegel had two hits and three RBIs. Andon Zeitner and Gibson Overweg combined on a one-hitter. Game 2 saw Drew Kriegel drive in two as the Spartans put it away with a huge third inning. Marshall swept Northwest yesterday 14-4 and 19-4 in local high school baseball action. Today in baseball, you've got Homer at Columbia. That's at 4. Grass Lake hosts Manchester at 4. Vandy hosts Hanover Horton at 4. Center will host East Jackson at 4. And at 4:30, Lumen on the road at Gabler Richard, and Jackson will play host to Tecumseh today in baseball. From softball, Napoleon had to adjust on the fly, traveling to Leslie after an unplayable field conditions at home. But the circumstances were much bigger than softball, with an incident unfolding back at the school, family members still in the building. The team's focus was understandably tested, and once they got the all clear, Napoleon responded, and responded in a big way. Game one, Napoleon rolled to a 16-6 win. Caitlin Fall picked up the victory, 9 strikeouts. Molly Simpson and Haven Marker each had 3 hits. Simpson and Caitlin Alt drove in 3 runs apiece. Game two, more of the same, 15-7 win for the Pirates. Hannah Hamlin struck out 7 to earn the win. Sophia Davison, Haven Marker, Molly Simpson all had 2 hits. Davison led the way with 3 RBIs, and Hayden Rendell added a pair. So Napoleon softball, big winners. Springport got the win over Concord, 22-0 and 21-0. Lumen Christi swept Marion, 19-0 and 11-1. And Marshall shut out Northwest, 9-0 yesterday. Today in softball, you've got Homer at Columbia, that's at 4. Grass Lake plays host to Manchester at 4. Also at 4 o'clock, Vandy hosts Hanover Horton. Center hosts EJ. And at Parkside, Jackson plays host to Ann Arbor Huron today in high school softball. On to girls track. First starting off here in the Big 8 yesterday, it was Jackson Christian on the road getting a win at Stockbridge, 8-1 for that final. So just like that, Jackson Christian, they have tallied a win streak of 4 games before they started striking gold at the Royal Cup against Napoleon back in April. They were 2-4. Now on this 4-game winning streak, the Royals are 6-4 on the season. Next up, they face a pretty stout Clinton team. They host a pretty stout Clinton team. That's tomorrow. But anyway, back to Big 8 soccer. You had Springport all over the valley, 9-1 yesterday for that final. Today, Bronson's at Quincy at 5:30. Cascades soccer from yesterday. Only one game on the schedule, that was Hanover Horton, and that one ended up getting scratched. They were supposed to host Columbia. So today, it's a pretty full slate. You've got Manchester hosting Grass Lake at 5:30, Center hosting Hanover Horton at 5:30, Columbia hosting Jonesville at 5:30, and Napoleon hosts Leslie at 9:30. It's a very tight race in girls soccer right now, and all eyes going to be on that Manchester-Grass Lake matchup. As Manchester, no losses on the season. They have 7 wins and just a couple ties in conference play. Let me clarify, in conference play. Grass Lake in conference play, only 1 loss, as they are 7-1-2 so far on the season. And Columbia, super close, as they are 6-3-1 on the season. So it's a 3-way race right now for supremacy in the Cascades Conference. Taking a look at Grass Lake, and their only loss in conference play is Leslie. Is a pretty they're 4-4-2 in conference play. Leslie is, but they're 7-5-2 overall. So that's a pretty stout Leslie team, also. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one, and we'll be sure to reference the Manchester Grass Lake matchup tomorrow with AM Jackson. Elsewhere in soccer. Out of the I-8, Western shut out Holt 4-0, and Jackson yesterday out of the White. Oh, they weren't scheduled. They played Chelsea today. Jackson United Soccer, lacrosse ended up falling to Skyline 8-3 yesterday. Thank you, Chief, for the scores. Sports brought to you by Kettlebell Hotspot.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 9, nope. See? See? At 7:33 here at News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. Ah, 7:34. It's one of those days.
Good morning.
But it's brighter now because we have in the studio with us Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Jackson.
You know, you when you say it's one of those days, you feel like that should just be limited to Mondays, right?
But, you know, Monday is my favorite day of the week.
It's one of those days, where no matter what. I mean, it seems like every time I turn around, there's an obstacle getting in the way today.
I know the feeling. I truly do. Sometimes you just have those days where, but you know what? You persevere.
Days like today make you a better person. Because it does. It prepares you for when it happens again in the
future.
That's
right.
So every time there's an obstacle, you just figure out a way to overcome it.
You just got
to
push.
Better person.
That is it. You just got to keep pushing. And then when something else happens, you just continue to push.
You and I are flip the perspective kind of people, I feel like, you know? All right. So Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney. Well, all right, real quick, did you have an eye, and I know there wasn't anything in the city last night. Jackson Public Schools didn't have a millage or anything, but did you have an eye on any of the stuff that was happening around the county last night with the millages?
No,
not
I didn't.
Really. Yeah.
No, not last night. I've been so locked in on, you know, I got a text from our office administrator who just holds it down for the 14th floor and really just... a phenomenal person just all the way around. Lisa, she texted me because she needed to let me know that I had some documents I need to sign. And she reminded me. She said, how do you feel? You got 9 meetings left. So I've been so locked in.
Oh, wow, that's right, yeah.
On just trying to make sure that I you know, stay steadfast on some of the things that I want to get finished up.
For sure.
Before my time is up. That I've not paid attention to anything. I've had to blind.
I know I've asked you before for the countdown, if you're counting down the days, minutes, and all that stuff.
I wasn't.
And you weren't.
Counting the days, maybe, you know, just something fun to do, and also to kind of try to keep my eyes on how much time I have left.
But 9 meetings.
But man, when you start talking about how many meetings.
Yeah, because in the summer, you go down to 1 meeting a month.
Absolutely.
So that's it. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. All right. So what'd that feel like? When she put that in perspective for you, what'd that feel like?
Well, you know, it wasn't the first time that somebody mentioned that, but I hadn't thought about how many. Someone asked me before, are you counting the number of meetings you have left? And I'm like, no, I'm just, you know, trying to keep track of the days because the days go by so fast. And then she was like, you got 9 meetings left. I'm like, man. You know, so it's bittersweet. And that's what I was telling her.
Yeah.
It's very bittersweet. I really love this community. I love serving as mayor. And so I'll miss it, but I know it's the right decision because I don't have any regret about making the decision to not run.
Right. No, and you shouldn't. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't. But you put your support before he was even in the race. You put your support behind Dobie's.
Yeah.
With that said, taking a look at the rest of the field, how do you see the field shaping up? Christy Mae Davis officially announced yesterday. So how do you see the field shaping up? Do you feel confident in, well, not confident, the decision that City of Jackson voters are going to have to make in August? Do you feel like they've got a good variety to choose from for those who threw their hat in the ring to be mayor?
I do. I do. I mean, we have some individuals who have ran before. We got, you know, some new people running. I think it's a good mix of people to choose from. I'm still firm on who I would like to see win.
It's good. It's, you know, maybe the first time in a while, because you're a county commissioner for a while.
This is 12 years. I was county commissioner for 7 years.
Mayor.
This is my 5th year being mayor.
You did one race at the state level.
Yeah.
So this is a
lot of running.
There's a lot of
yeah.
You get to sit back and not run and just kind of take a deep breath that night.
Yeah, it's a good feeling to be able to stay focused on just doing the work this year, which is rare. I mean, even as a county commissioner, when I was a county commissioner, they hadn't changed it to 4-year terms, which I think was very appropriate to do for the county commission. It's so hard. I mean, it's so hard to get work done in a matter of 2 years. You get 1 year to do work with then you're no interruptions, in hopes that you do enough work that people will see fit to elect you again the next year. And then you have to do work and run a campaign at the same time. And so it makes for a very busy person,
But once you get on the county commission, it's once you're there, yes, you're still running. And I've had conversations with Ray Snell. He always ran like it was he was going all out every time. And I know that's how you run. But still, with that said, once you get on, it's easier to stay there.
It seems like it is. All right. You know, but I will tell you, being the person running, it does not feel like that.
Okay.
You know, any decision can be the decision that voters say, let's try somebody different in that seat. So every election you have to take seriously, and you have to do work and represent the body of people who you were elected to represent, and you have to vote as if you're voting for all of those people and not on behalf of your own interest.
Right.
And I think as long as you do that, it makes for an easier reelection. But running a campaign, I mean, if I was to compare running for county commission to running for mayor, say, it's definitely a world of different. And then running for state rep versus running for mayor, yet again, a whole nother difference. But I think with any seat, once you get in that seat and you prove to people that you're going to follow through with the things that you said in your campaign and what you campaigned on, what your platform was, that's what people elect you for. They elect you because of the things that you say during campaign. And then they want to see you follow through on those things.
Right. And I do want to talk about city stuff here, but just through the course of the conversation, I just like to have the natural conversation.
Absolutely.
Questions come out as they come up.
Yeah.
And going back to when you first ran, and this does not in any way minimize what you have done and the work that you have done, because you have created your own name, right? But when you first ran, how much did having the same name as Gail Mahoney help you? Did it hinder you?
It was very helpful. I mean, because she
name set, recognition.
She set a I think further than name recognition, she set a strong foundation from serving for 18 years in the ward that she represented. She fought through a lot of adversity. She contributed quite a bit to this county. To the mental health from her being on Lifeway's board of directors and all the other places that she served at as a county commissioner for 18 years at the time she stepped down. She was at that time the longest serving county commissioner that we had. And so I was standing on the shoulder of a giant in this community and someone who saw something in me that I didn't see in myself at that time. You know, a lot of people say, well, she selected you because you had the same name as her. Well, I think 12 years later, we can say that that's probably not the reason why she asked me to run. If that was the reason, then I probably could have been replaced after that first year, after that first term. Or maybe it wouldn't have worked out for me to even want to run another term. But, you know, she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself that apparently a lot of other people saw in me as well. And so I'm very grateful for her and the work that she put in. And it gave me more confidence because people knew the person that she was. So in turn, they knew who I was.
Right.
And then, you know, so I think that helped me in that first election big time. That was a huge help.
Right.
But since then,
it's all Daniel J.
Right? After that first election.
Yeah.
And people are voting for the person who's in there.
Yeah.
You know, so, I'm grateful, though. I'm grateful for her tapping me on the shoulder and asking me to run. You know, I'm grateful for Derek also. For tapping me on the shoulder to run for mayor. You know, he's the person who asked me to run. And when I decided that I wasn't going to run, He's actually outside of my immediate family, which is also my campaign team.
Yeah.
He was the first person who I told that I'm not going to run, and that I told him, hey, I know you had some unfinished business, man. Maybe you should think about it. And so, you know, and I think that we, you know, when you, I think that we owe it to other people to let them know what we see in them. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've tried to model, because, you know, I realized that, you know, I over the years, I learned this new term called imposter syndrome, which I never knew was a thing, right? Where you kind of feel like, am I supposed to even be here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I went through that. And I've talked to some other colleagues of mine across the state who are young and who are leaders who didn't think they would end up in the positions that they were in. And they're like, no, this is it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I see people and I see something in them, if they're passionate about you know, public service and passionate about serving others, you know, I try to make sure I pour into them the same way that people poured into me. Because I think that's important for us to build our future leaders up and tell them, hey, you can do something more than what you're doing right now.
Right.
In whatever capacity that may be, because it's needed. You know, people need that extra push, because sometimes you just get tricked into thinking this is it for me, or there's nothing more that I can do. But when someone else sees something in you and they can pour into you, and mentor you and kind of help push you in a direction that they feel like, hey, you would be good for such and such.
All right, we got to put a pin in this conversation, because I so want to come back and I want to ask you, who is it that you're pouring into right now? Who are the young leaders in Jackson right now that you kind of want to mentor? But all right, so we're going to circle back to that at some point in the future. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. But let's pivot right now back to city council. And last night, at the meeting last night, you kind of got you heard from the different departments, and you're starting to work on the city budget, right?
Yeah, this is budget season. Okay. New budget starts July, so we are diligently working through all of the different departments. Last night's meeting, we had a public hearing on the budget. The proposed budget is available on the city website for anybody who's interested in going on there and reading through that budget to see what's being proposed. Last night, we had our first public hearing to be able to hear from the citizens on you know, how they feel about what we're doing with the community's money. And then we also hear from all of the department heads, and they really just kind of give us the high level overview of changes in the budget. If there's, you know, things that stick out, if there's reductions, if there's
increases,
any increases and, you know, what's more expensive? Why is there an increase? Why are you asking for more money? What projects are we looking at doing? And you know, those all the questions that we need to ask. And it's nice, because we always have open door opportunity to go and talk to all of those department heads.
Yeah.
But to have them come to a meeting and present to us the changes in their budgets gives us the opportunity for anyone on council to ask a question, and all of us on council to hear those questions and hear those answers, so that way we can evaluate the budget and evaluate the outcomes of that budget. I mean, I'm really impressed with the way that our staff has handled not only our regular budget, but of course we've had what I would consider kind of an inflated budget because of the ARPA dollars that we got from COVID. And so we've been good stewards of the city of Jackson's money over these years of having what I would consider an inflated budget. And now we are back to our regular budget. And because we've not made a lot of long-term investments that create that create expenses for the city long-term, you know, we're not in a position where we're scrambling to try to figure out, now that our budget is back to its regular amount and our regular expenditures and income, we're not scrambling to try to figure out what to do. So we've got a strong budget. It'll be balanced. We've got a strong fund balance. And, you know, I'm confident that next meeting we'll pass the budget, and we'll have another strong year doing some good work in the city of Jackson.
departments that talked about increases yesterday. Any that stand out for you right now?
You know, not particularly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's some that are notable. The police department had an increase, but one of the things that got talked about last night with police department is that staffing wise, out of the 52 officers that the city of Jackson Police Department are allowed, we have 50 officers on staff, which is phenomenal. Now, we do have some retirements coming up, but there is a plan to make sure that as those individuals retire, that we have those positions backfilled as well. And the goal is over the next few years to try to get to that 52 count, which is powerful. Also, there was an increase in the fire department as well. I think we've got one additional full-time firefighter that was added on, which our public safety takes up more than 50% of our budget. And so when we start talking about public safety and the importance of public safety, not only to the citizens, but in reflection to what the citizens want, city council is showing what importance public safety has in this community through what we're allocating in the budget. And so I think people will find that we have a strong budget and we're putting our money where we feel like the citizens' highest concerns are.
Reductions? Any of those that stand out? Were there many offered? Many departments offering reductions in their budget?
Well, sometimes things look like a reduction. And that's because, like, so for instance, Public Works. Public Works, we've had they've done a phenomenal job at grant seeking and getting those grants. And so when there's not grants available, then those dollars don't get put into the budget. Therefore, it looks like there's a reduction in their department, a reduction in the amount of work being done. There's a reduction in the amount of projects that are being done as well, because the money is not there. So we're just operating within the budget that we have available when it comes to getting our roads done. Also, things like when we had the bridges that got done and I think got paid for by state dollars, that also gets added into that budget as well. And so there's some reductions in that way, but still...
Well, it's reductions in tax dollars from the city residents when you're bringing in revenue from other sources. So
correct,
it's just money from different buckets.
Bingo, money from different buckets, and that's really it. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, everything kind of stayed the same.
Okay, all right. Yep. How big? We mentioned public safety being the biggest part of the budget. How big? Because the city does a fabulous job with their parks department and. You know, all the different programs and sporting different events that they offer for youth in Jackson. How large of a portion of the budget is Kelly Hoover's piece of the pie?
Parks and Recs is, I would say, probably roughly around 7% of the budget.
Really?
Somewhere around there.
Wow.
It's not an enormous amount.
It just feels like they get a really big bang for their buck then.
Yeah.
It just does.
Well, because they do.
Yeah.
Because they do. They, one thing we cherish in Jackson is our parks. That's from our city parks to our county parks. And, you know, I think that's part of the fabric of this community.
Yeah.
And so that shows through how they get cared for.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but all the, like we talked about. I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. In many cases, that's children of Jackson, the city of Jackson. That's their first introduction to a variety of different types of athletics.
Absolutely.
So, and a great number of volunteers make that happen, too. So,
absolutely.
All right. Anything left untouched here, Daniel Mahoney? Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney, that we should be, whether it's about the budget or upcoming meetings or any one of the nine that you have left on your calendar.
No,
we should be talking about today.
not anything particularly that I can think of. Budget, I'll come back at our next meeting.
Okay.
And so if you do take a look at it and you got questions, feel free to, you know, hit anybody on council up.
Or, do you have concern, any areas of concerns in the budget?
No, I don't. I was really impressed because, I mean, you know, as somebody who's always trying to be a thinking ahead of, you know, of time and thinking into the future, you know, this was one of the times that I was kind of, you know, concerned about approaching this time of where we are right now. Meaning like, okay, what are we going to do past the all of the COVID dollars, the ARPA dollars that we've received?
It's rare.
You know, what's going to happen?
Yeah, it's rare. And there's been other organizations or municipalities, schools, whatever. Absolutely. They got that money. And like all of a sudden, we don't have that money and it's panic time.
Absolutely.
And you're saying the city's not in that situation?
No.
Okay.
No. And quick update.
Sure.
We are now, well, from what I was told in last night's meeting, this week we'll be at 69 houses.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, 69 houses.
Yes, 69.
Okay.
This week.
For the 100 homes.
It's for the 100 homes.
Okay.
And we are pushing.
31 here's to go.
Here's the even better news.
Okay.
Right. So in addition to the 69 houses, last night they told us with all of the other development that has happened, we've had over 90 structures built homes. So some of those are duplexes.
Right.
So it doesn't account for every single home that's available or that has been occupied now, because all of the 69 are spoken for.
Right.
But it just gives me great hope that we are going to indeed approach and reach our goal of 100 homes by that December time.
All right. There it is. Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney joining us this morning. Daniel, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Likewise. I appreciate you. Have a good day. Have a good day, Jackson.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
8:35, we'll be getting to ABC News headlines here in just a little bit. Quick look at your weather forecast, as we have partly sunny skies and 56 degrees for our high today. For tonight, just a few clouds, about 35 for the low. After midnight, again, we could see some frost developing. It's going to be another morning to protect your delicates. So chilly weather with us to start off our Thursday, a little bit of frost possible, and then mostly sunny skies. We'll see 55 degrees by Thursday afternoon. Mostly cloudy, 41 degrees. Well, I mean, it does look like it's pretty sunny under those mostly cloudy skies. We are at 41 degrees. That's your weather forecast on Newstalk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. And it's a pleasure to have in the studio with us today from the YMCA here in Jackson. We have Jordan King, and we also have Amanda Hansen joining us this morning. And welcome to Glenshire Drive.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have everybody here. Now, we've got a lot. There's a lot going on at the Y. Always a lot going on
always,
at the Y.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about a few different things here, from campaign to safety and swimming. But I guess let's start off with summer camps. Great memories of summer camps. Not too long ago, I worked at the animal shelter, and we brought in kids from the Y and just had them engage with the animals, do some projects for us. Those kids were beaming. They love their summer camps. It's always a fun time at the Y.
It's so much fun, and it's an action-packed 10 weeks.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. We do so many trips. We do visit the animal shelter over at Cascades Humane Society. So we're excited to partner with so many people in our community and give our kids a great experience.
So tell me about summer camps. 10 weeks long. I mean, I have to imagine it's like a lot to kind of come up with all those different projects for all those different age groups and whatnot, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it definitely takes a lot of planning. It's been a lot of fun to piece together the themes for each week, and we have trips like All Skate, Greenfield Village, Rolling Hills Water Park. So it's exciting. And then we also do some days at the YMCA where we swim, we do cooking, rock wall climbing. So there's a lot of activities happening.
Right. I know parents' mindset is right now they're still trying to get through school.
Absolutely.
But now's the time to get signed up, right? You gotta start thinking about summer and keeping those kids engaged and activated and active, right?
Definitely. And we are filling up really quickly. We're actually over halfway full for the entire 10 weeks of summer. So that's so exciting to see that turnout. So definitely register soon. We are excited to have everybody join us.
So how do parents who are listening or grandparents are listening right now, how do they get kids registered, and what's the cost?
Yeah. So the cost for members is $179 per week, and our community members can join us for $229 per week, and that you can register online at jacksonymca.org or visit us right at the front desk as well.
Can they register for the whole thing all at once? Do you see that kids kind of register for a week here and a week there? How's that work?
Yeah, it's really up to you. Okay. Our registration is weekly, so it's fine to go ahead and register for the whole summer. Or you can pick and choose the weeks that are appealing to you.
Right. So you can do like an a la carte.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. Right. All right. What's the most popular one?
Ooh, I would say the week that we go to Cedar Point.
Of course, right?
Yes, absolutely. Our older kids get to go on that trip, while our younger kids go to a hands-on museum. But that is always kind of what really drives registration for that week, I would say.
Do you guys take the blue bus down to Cedar Point? Okay.
Yes, yeah. Iconic blue bus.
It is. It is iconic. You see that thing pull up, you know the kids are ready to have a good time.
Absolutely. All right.
So you're the youth development director for the Y?
Yes.
How long have you been there?
So I've been there since September as the director, so this will be my first summer as director. But the YMCA was my first job as a summer camp counselor and working our after school programs. And I always used to joke that if I could work at the YMCA forever, I would.
Yeah. So now you play. You know, some of that, like Shauna and Teresa, it's like you guys play for a living. You know? It's kind of what it's like, right?
Absolutely. Okay. It's so much fun. There's so much work that goes into it. But I would say it's one of the most rewarding jobs that I could have had.
And Amanda is here in the studio with us. Now, what's your role with the Y?
I am the child care director.
All right. So how much with the summer camps do you have a role in here?
I get to do all the fun, and Jordan gets to plan it all.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
I am working really hard at getting our licensed child care center downtown. We used to do bussing after school with the surrounding schools. Mm-hmm. My goal is to bring that back this fall and provide after school for the community.
All right.
We're also in the works of opening up a preschool downtown, and I've had so much fun designing that. I'm super excited for those programs to kick off.
So what has to happen between now and then? Take me through the plan from A to B to get there.
So we have to get it licensed. Okay. We have to find our staff. I'm really hoping that our summer camp staff right now looks like a really promising bunch, and I'm hoping to cherry pick from them to get our after school programs going.
Okay.
Yeah. So licensing is our biggest hiccup right now, but we are ready to roll after that.
Tell me about the space, because the YMCA, everybody knows, has gone through this transformation.
Yeah.
It was a great space to begin with, but now it's just this beautiful space there. Will it be in like a newly recently redesigned space at the Y, or where's it going to be?
It will. We have dedicated the lower level of our center to child care. So we have a brand new child care room, and then we have a STEAM lab that we're creating, and that will be where our after school is
at. STEAM. I've heard of STEM.
Yes.
What's STEAM?
So STEAM is science, technology, engineering, arts.
Okay.
And forgive me for the M. I think it's mechanics, but I might be wrong. But so we're really excited to bring innovativeness back to the Y. We're working out some cool classes like a mad scientist class, and we have some youth physical activity classes that we're doing. We're really excited to bring somewhere for after school.
Right. Yeah. And the YMCA, whether it's here in Jackson, for me, I grew up in Lenawee County, so some of my first introductions to the Y has been a kid through programs like that or through the swimming, and that's what you're going to hear all across the board.
Yeah, I was a Y kid.
You're a Y kid, you know, that introduction and getting them introduced to physical activity, to fitness, and many of the other things that we're talking about. And really, it's that sense of community starts young at the Y.
Absolutely. That is my biggest goal, is to provide a community that these kids want to come to and be a part of.
Right. We're going to circle back to swimming here in a second. But a big thing that's going on with the Y happens every year is their campaign. And we are approaching the Strong Communities campaign here, aren't we?
Yes. So we kicked off yesterday Monday, I guess it was. celebrating that. We have pledge cards throughout our facility, but it fuels our scholarship programs. Okay. So we give out over $200,000 each year in scholarships to families, program participants, seniors, to be able to take advantage of our programs. It's what really fuels a lot of our chronic disease prevention programs, like Pedaling for Parkinson's, summer day camp. Kiddos are a big recipients of that. So.
Okay.
It's awesome.
So it's really, when we're talking about the Strong Communities campaign, this is about raising the funds to provide that access that we're talking about,
yes,
to provide access to the Y for the community, right?
Yes. Yeah. So the community can make donations, mm-hmm, whether that's a one-time gift or a recurring thing that you set up. We are so grateful for the community's participation in that. Mm-hmm. We're really hitting it hard for 8 weeks. So we're excited to see how our members rally together. They always are, they do such a great job of, right, helping us provide those programs to our families.
Do we have a goal in mind for this, or are we focused more on the dollars raised feeding into impact, or what is that? How does this work?
Our goal this year is $125,000.
Okay.
And it's not far off from what we have raised in the past years. Yeah. So we're really hopeful that we can hit this number. And I know that the Y is based on a for all community. This, mm-hmm, this provides that for all access. We don't want anyone to think that they can't come because of income barriers.
Right, right. Well, I mean, the Y knocked it out of the park with the capital campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this, I mean, this, and when you have success like that, when people see the transition, it feels like it's a natural fit to kind of keep things going, keep that motivation, that momentum going into, yeah, this type of campaign, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do people donate then?
Yeah, they can visit our website, or they can stop in on at the front desk. We also have pledge cards around the building right now, so you can write your pledge and drop it in the box. So there's lots of ways to donate.
Okay, very good. Awesome. So the Strong Communities campaign ongoing now for the next 8 weeks. Now, again, like I mentioned, my first introduction to the Y was really in the pool, right? And I think that you're going to see that with a lot of kids. Their first introduction to the Y, their first introduction to swimming was at the Y. So we have swim lessons coming up, or is that where we're starting next, or we want to talk about the other thing first?
We can do both.
All right, let's talk about the swim lessons.
All right, so in June, we have summer swim lessons starting, okay, and that is to promote the Safety Around Water Month. So May is Safety Around Water Month, and we are really excited that we're hosting a program this year where you can sign up for a 45-minute time slot and go through water safety stations.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're doing this May 18th, 20th, and 22nd. And you can sign up by calling or coming in. You cannot register online for this one.
Okay.
But it is a great program right now. It's right before Memorial Day, so it's a perfect mini lesson to before getting in the lake for the summer. Unfortunately, with children ages 1 to 4, drowning is still the leading cause of death, and that is completely preventable with these water safety and swim lesson classes.
So what are some of the things? And it's so important. Our listeners know we've got water all over the place.
Yes.
In this county.
Jackson County actually has 120 lakes.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of.
A ton.
Not only fishing holes, but swimming holes. That's, yeah, a lot. So what are some of the things that are going to be covered? I mean, we kind of, you know, all over safety, right? But what are some of the things that really, that, you know, kids in this community will be introduced to that they normally wouldn't be introduced to?
Everything from putting on your life jacket correctly and, okay, and knowing how to test your limits in the water, knowing how to kind of push and rescue yourself out of some situations. It's a lesson that is compact with how to swim yeah, safely, how to be safe in the water, how to check your surroundings, that sort of stuff.
Okay, so it's focused on the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, parents, you also have to be mindful too.
I was going
to
say, parents can learn some good tips too, especially that life jacket. Putting on the life jacket properly prevents so much.
Right. That strap that goes underneath.
Yeah.
Might not be comfortable, but you got to have it on.
Yeah. And testing to make sure you have the right size life jacket.
Right. Okay. So when do people get signed up for that?
You can sign up now until the 18th, I believe, when the first class is. There are limited spots, so make sure that you call and get your spot secured now.
Okay. And then the swimming classes, when do those start?
June. And you can register for those now as
Register for those now. And how long do those last?
I believe our summer sessions are 4 weeks instead of the typical 8 weeks, maybe. But it's a smaller session.
Yeah.
Definitely, but worth it.
Broken up into age groups, broken up by
It can also be by experience. So even if you feel like you are not quite where you should be for your age or your size or any of that, you can take an assessment and they'll put you in the right group.
All right, cool. And can they sign up online?
Swim lessons, you can sign up online or in person.
Okay, cool. And what else didn't we talk about today as we have Jordan and Amanda from the YMCA in the studio with us? What else didn't we talk about today that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, I would just say, I think we really touched on everything going on. It's so exciting down at the YMCA. I would say safety around water, that is one of our, most, it's very important, no matter if you're sending your child to YMCA summer camp or if you're going on a family vacation, that is so valuable to know that your child can, float and swim and do all the things to keep them safe. We're really excited to have everybody join us for summer camp, for all of these programs that we have going on this summer. So,
all right. And look for those pledge cards for the Strong Community Campaign and all that stuff too. You raised your hand, so it looked like you were saying something.
I'm really excited for our summer series that our wellness department is putting on.
Okay, tell us.
They're bringing back Zumba Under the Stars at Cascades.
Okay.
And we have some park yoga going on, and they really brought back some programs that people were really excited about. So our summer is action-packed at the Y.
Yeah, Zumba's a thing that just keeps, it just keeps trucking along.
And Cascades is a perfect place for it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the yoga, that's where's that again?
Oh, good question.
Sorry, brought it up.
Go to our Facebook page because we will be posting that information there. I know that it is. Oh, I know where it's at. It is at the new farmers market downtown. River and Rails. Yeah.
So inside the prison walls.
Yeah,
that's a cool
Jeremy
place.
Partnered with Grow Jackson, and he'll be doing family yoga down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good introductory kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. You won't be doing 2-minute planks.
No, maybe.
Maybe. Family can do it, then the family can do it. All right. Jordan, Amanda, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks
today.
For
we appreciate
us.
It. Thank you. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:37 here at AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. And if you want a detailed map or at least route of where not to go this morning for commutes, if you want detail on potholes, Jeff Punches, superintendent of East Jackson Schools, can give that to you this morning, right?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Good. Hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, to zigzag your way in or something.
Yeah, you get that, and then you get some stuff downtown, and then they're putting some fiber over on Horton Road.
Yeah, that's not, because they're doing that over by Sam's Club not too long ago, and that was a pain.
Yeah, it's all down the one lane now.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, it used to be like, if the map said 17 minutes, you're like, I can get there quicker than that, and now you got to add for dodging potholes and everything else. Yeah.
So how are things going at East Jackson? I mean, we're at the end of the school year. It's last year. That's crazy.
Really good. Actually, this year, we're out earlier than most of the Jackson County schools. We're done at the end of May.
Why is that?
We were just able to make some adjustments to our calendar to see what it felt like to get out in May. Next year, with the late start with Labor Day, you're not going to be able to make that happen. We got graduation coming up. We've got our senior spring awards, baseball, softball, track.
Yeah.
And then we're gearing up for a bunch of construction at our schools this summer.
Okay. Let's start there. Let's start with the improvements. Because, there's been, We're just coming off of elections yesterday.
Yep.
It's got to be pretty nice to be, as a superintendent, be able to sit back, relax, and watch some of the other schools stress about passing millages, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely was nice being in the position I was. But yeah. I will be honest with everybody. You know, as superintendents in Jackson County, everybody has a really good rapport mm-hmm. with everybody. And we're one of the few people that can get what the other superintendents are going through. So, you know, we know how much work it takes to communicate and rally support. And I mean, I'm just as heartbroken for, you know, Vandercook Lake. And, you know, because it's just, as a superintendent, it's really hard to move a district forward when you can't make some of those improvements and, you know, have the community behind you. So that was heartbreaking. But, you know, some other schools had some success. And I, you know, sent us some congratulatory text this morning. And I just said, you know, buckle up because now the real work starts. Because now, you know, you're going to be in meetings, all the design and all the fun stuff. And we got construction breaking ground on on June 1st. So we've got a little bit of everything going on at our buildings. Some things are going to have to be pushed off to the next summer just because of lead times for electrical and HVAC. But we have some roofs going in both buildings. The secondary building is getting a brand new gym floor. That was the original 1959 asbestos mastic glued gym floor. So that's getting you know, replaced. And then we're just trying to make it a little bit more of a modern environment for our students in the hallways. Bulk of the construction's at the elementary, new well. We're doing new windows and doors in all the buildings for student safety, just to make sure that our classrooms are safe and good areas for our students. Parking lots, you know, those aren't super exciting, but we definitely need to make sure we take care of that, you know, those spaces. So a lot of stuff going on this summer.
All right. Now, all of that's the result. When was that millage you guys had?
We passed last May.
Last May. Yep. Okay. Yep. It just kind of gives our listeners an idea how long it takes sometimes. It gets passed, but like you said, the planning, it takes a while for the ground to break.
And right now, like, the pricing is just so crazy because when we start putting that money together and figuring out how that works, you're really working with groups that pass similar bonds. So you're about a year and a half out on pricing, and then you go to the voters and you have it approved, and then you have to go out and bid it to the contractors, which we did in February, March this year. And, you know, we just, and our prices are a little bit higher because, you know, you have the tariffs and you have gas prices and all these things going up, which, you know, impacts their bottom line. So the prices change from what we, you know, kind of proposed 2 years prior. So there's a lot that goes into it. And I really had no concept of it when I was a principal. So you take the crash course and you hope that, you know, you've surrounded yourself with really good people to help you.
Right. What improvements are you looking forward to the most?
I'm really excited about our gym floor. Okay. Just because, you know, I've played on that gym floor and it is literally like playing on concrete because the wood was glued to concrete. Yeah. So there's not, you know, the big spring like you see. So kids always be like, well, if we had better floor, I could dunk. Well, now they're going to get that chance.
If they spent more time on leg day, they could dunk.
I don't know. I think some of it, you know, is just natural ability, but I don't know. I mean, I think kids could definitely do more weightlifting. Probably overall, I mean, we're putting a lot of new furniture in our buildings. So at the elementary, we're completely redoing our STEM lab. So that's going to be, you know, new paint, new graphics, new furniture. We're going to project lead the way for curriculum. So that's really going to be our real heavy hitter at the elementary, which I'm really excited about. But, you know, a lot of the other stuff is just pieces that we just needed to update, you know, to keep everything going.
Dome staying the same, though.
Yeah. Yep.
No. Not changing the dome.
Yep. This time around, we have not had to put any money into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's kind of the staple of Jackson. And
for sure,
if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me about cruising down the Ave and going there for burgers and shakes, I think I could take the family on vacation.
For sure. Jeff Bunch is in the studio with us here today. Superintendent, East Jackson Schools. Next year for your athletics, it's going to be a big, well, I mean, is it just athletics? It's probably going to kind of lean into the overall culture of East Jackson because, moving from the Cascades, been a member of the Cascades for a long time, and going to be heading over to the Big 8. That's a big move.
Yeah, I think it's, and at the end of the day, it's what's best for our kids. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, some people are going to say, you know, founding member and you got everything here close, but you know, with just some of the differences in enrollment and just the, you know, the really the competitiveness of school of choice in Jackson County, this kind of allows us to separate ourselves, and we're getting into a conference that aligns a little bit better with our enrollment and just kind of our overall numbers and our athletic teams. And I think we're going to be more competitive, you know, and it's really hard where we're at now because some of the districts are so advanced with AAU and, you know, travel baseball and travel softball. And, you know, with our socioeconomic, you know, of our district, our families don't have thousands of dollars to go pay to play those sports. So our kids are at a disadvantage when we play, you know, some of those schools, as I'm sure when you watch basketball this winter and see some of those scores, you know, I think it just aligns us a little bit better for our kids to find success.
Okay. So, yeah, it's, and like I said, it kind of leads in the overall culture. It, you know, success in one area kind of bleeds into another.
Yeah. And I mean, I think people may not always want to acknowledge it, but sports is a very important factor in our culture in the United States and Michigan. And, you know, even though the statistics tell you that, you know, what 1% of kids are going to go on and play D1 sports, there's still people that want to try as hard as they can to give their kids those opportunities. So, you know, it is a big part of our district and even Jackson County as a whole.
Right.
So it's just another way for us to give our kids an opportunity to be successful.
Okay. So, still going to be 12-man football?
Yep. Or okay. 11.
11. Sorry. Yeah. Why'd I say that? It's all still going to be 11.
Yep.
All right. Yep. And yeah, you're going to be going up against some teams to have some success over there, like Springport and others too. So, I mean, yeah, still going to the Big 8, but there's still going to be some good competition there.
For sure. But, you know, it's a little bit easier pill to swallow when you're going up against a district that's, you know, closer to your enrollment
than double
your enrollment. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But, you know, the one thing is like, we haven't, you know, been beat or played, you know, some of these schools 50 to 100 times. And, you know, that's a fresh start for a lot of kids, you know, mentally and psychologically. And we know sports is a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Know? So, all right. Yeah, that's really where I'm excited, you know.
All right. And it'll be, you know, it's a full-on move. It's across the board. So, I mean, all of your programs going to be there in the Big 8. So, what else going on with, we talked about the end of the school year, graduating a little bit earlier, senior class on their way out. What can you tell us about?
It's just always, I mean, this is my 10th year in the district. So, you know, I've seen these kids all the way through, from, you know, when they came in at middle school level. So it's always nice to see how much they've changed and, you know, just kind of where they've landed on their next steps. You know, in their journey. And it's always exciting to see what's next for some of the, you know, the students.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anything else going on with EJ that, you know, we need to be talking about?
I'm with the construction and, you know, we had a significant increase of enrollment and, you know, so we're kind of making some moves for next year. We're looking to add staff because we're, you know, with the move up with some of the grades and, I'm still looking to, you know, increase enrollment. So we're going to be looking for teachers.
But you said you had an increase in enrollment.
Correct.
Okay. Is that from the younger classes having more kids coming up? Or
majority,
you got more people coming into the district?
Majority of it's all been at the elementary. So our kindergarten, our K-2 level, we've been able to add sections and continue to grow that. You know, majority of those kids have been in district kids.
Okay.
And, you know, for me as a superintendent, if we're going to increase our enrollment and make the cultural shift that I know we can, it's really going to start at the elementary level, you know, small class sizes, the resources, the opportunities. And so by having that increase and then some of the other funding opportunities that we've been able to get, you know, we're able to add paraprofessionals and, you know, more teachers to have smaller class sizes, which we know research suggests that kids learn better that way. So just really excited about some of the opportunities that we'll have for resources for our kids.
Yeah, in a time when we're talking about a lot of districts that are losing numbers, to have a success story like that, I mean, that's something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, I mean, it takes everybody involved. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I've said, we have just great people at East Jackson. And from day one, you know, everybody bought into, you know, relationships. Mm-hmm. And we're going to focus on what's best for the kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, you know, my 2 years as superintendent, we've really, you know, rolled up our sleeves and mm-hmm. really got after that work on really, especially at the elementary level.
Yeah,
really building that rapport and relationships with the kids and the families, and we're going to continue to do that.
So you're looking to add to staff in the elementary?
Correct.
Okay. So yep. More teachers or more assistants in the classroom, where's that going to be?
Yeah, both. Yep.
Both? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah, it's just all this stuff. It's like, okay, I don't want to wish away my summer. But
well, you're really, superintendent.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, it's time to open the pool and do some of that fun stuff. But
you'll maybe get a day.
Yeah. No, yeah. But, you know, it's just like, okay, it's kind of like right. Dusty May winning the national title, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's on to the next. And, yeah, we got one school year that's done, but there's just so much potential and possibilities for next year that I'm really excited about.
All right. Very good. Now, 2 years in, how, and you've been in the district for 10.
Yep.
But it's a little bit different beast going from principal to soup.
Yep.
How long did it take you to get your legs under you in the soup position?
I mean, I would say that I was fortunate that being in a small district, you know, mm-hmm. you wear so many hats that a lot of the stuff was not foreign to me. I had a lot of experience, you know, being involved in. But I will say it kind of goes back to like what I would tell kids or parents, you know, aligning yourself with people that want to see you be successful
mm-hmm.
and have, you know, the like-minded goals. You know, I've built really good relationships, you know, with other superintendents, and I wouldn't be where I'm at without, you know, Nick Angel or Brady Cook, you know, even though we're right next to each other, like I said, they get what I'm going through and I know what they're going through. And that's huge. You know, and, you know, we lost a former board president, you know, just a couple months ago, Ken Straub. He was a huge, huge, huge mentor of mine.
Yeah.
You know, and just having people there that kind of can help you guide you and, you know, at least have be a sounding yeah. board has been huge.
We've heard from other superintendents about the close knit that the yeah. other soups have in here. You mentioned Brady Cook. So
yeah.
what type of advice did he give you after you got the superintendent nameplate on your desk?
Yeah. I mean, his biggest thing is just every problem is going to find its way to you. You know, so the more you can be proactive, yeah. as you know, just like yesterday with the swatting stuff at Napoleon,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, that's the environment we live in that it's all falls on you as a superintendent. So, you know, making sure that you have everything organized and have a clear way to communicate with your stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in those situations, you're never probably going to be able to communicate. And I think Pat Dillon did a great job. There's no training manual for that stuff. So, you know, and you really rely on all your teachers and all your staff and public safety. And, so yeah, I mean, you have to be prepared for the, unprepared events and just, you know, hope for the best a lot of times.
So when that happens, like in yeah. Napoleon, I'm assuming the conversations then bleed into your district and you start having those conversations. Are we prepared? What are we going to do? What's
yeah,
our
I
plan
mean,
like?
Yeah.
All that stuff, right?
Yep. So one of the first things that, you know, I did yesterday is I talked to our SRO and, you
what
know, a school resource officer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we have one from Blackman Leone. And so it's kind of, you know, that is like your heartbeat. If something's happening, that's mm-hmm. the boots on the ground that's going to help you. And then everybody else kind of rallies to it. So, you know, that's where your emergency operation plan is huge and making sure everybody knows like what you do for a lockdown, how we're communicating it, what we're doing. And then really that's where you have to work in concert with, you know, your local police agencies.
Yeah.
Something like that happens. I mean, I guarantee they had people from Lenawee and, you know, MSP and probably the city. I mean, everybody's all hands on deck
right.
in those situations. So you have to prepare and hope that you never have to, you know, go through something like that. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, something similar happened at Springport. So
yeah. when you're in that situation, though, and you realize, at what point do you realize, all right, this is probably a swatting thing, but you still have to go through all the steps.
Yep.
I said, how early on do you figure out that it's probably just a phone call and it's not a real thing?
I mean, I think they figured that out kind of once they started debriefing in the evening
yeah.
and they put out that, you know, statement. But I mean,
You got to do it. You got to follow through.
Those kids, I mean, I've got kids in school myself. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. You know, we got an education to protect those kids, and I'm going to do anything and everything. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's our priority, is the safety of our kids and our staff. So you're going to treat it like it's 100% a threat, and then, you know, hope to God it's not, and you know, go from there. But thankfully I've never been in that position. I mean, we've had
But you guys talk, you debrief.
We have a meeting Friday, and I'm sure that's going to be a heavy conversation on lessons learned, because I mean, it's every time there's an event, you got to say, okay, you know, how do we improve what we're doing? And really, we got in huge kudos to Jason Brining. We've got a huge event at the end of the month where we're bringing in a group from Arizona where we're doing a two-day reunification event, because you can plan and you can have the paper, but until you can go through those actual events, I mean, that's how you're going to learn and make improvements to what you're going to do. So
frustrating is probably doesn't even cover it, the word that they're going through.
You know, it's just something that we shouldn't have to worry about, but unfortunately, you know, we do. It's not what... You know, it's just one of those added layers to education now that we have to worry about.
Right. Yeah. So, anything left untouched here, Jeff Punches, superintendent?
No, I just, I'm super excited about next school year, and I appreciate, you know, getting on here and opportunity to, at the end of this month, celebrate our graduates.
Somebody wants to learn more about School of Choice and becoming a Trojan. What do they need to do?
Just visit our website, eastjacksonschools.org. And I think the biggest thing is always to come actually see our facilities, because if everybody's always amazed by what, you know, is inside those doors that we have going on, and put our facilities up against anybody. And you just kind of you know, we got a little diamond over there in east side of the county that's available.
And construction starting this summer, so it's only getting better.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
Good seeing you. Thanks
for
being here.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.